So tonight, we're going to be looking at how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And our scripture is Ephesians 5:15-21. I can get my head all around this and not mess up what I'm saying. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can be here tonight. We just ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us to learn from this and to be better for having been here. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what if you had a brand new car, very powerful car, all kinds of luxuries and stuff in it, and it was all filled up with gas and ready to go, and so everywhere you went, you pushed the car. You're going to get wore out pretty soon. You're going to have a hard time doing this. First hill you come to, it's going to be real difficult. Well, the Holy Spirit is the engine for our spiritual life. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can do what the Lord wants and be close to the Lord and learn His will for our lives. So the reasons for the spiritual lives are pretty easy, and they're all O's. Obedient. Is it worse to be drunk or unfilled? Well, they said, don't be drunk, be filled with the Spirit instead. So it sounds to me like that being unfilled is actually worse than getting drunk. We need to remember that sins of omission are actually worse than sins of commission. What we mean by that is, it says in the Bible, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, that's sin. We have the ability to do what God wants, and we don't do it. God, all over the Old Testament, is talking about this, that I've told you what I need, what I want for you to do, and you're not doing it. Now, they also went out and did things they were not supposed to do. So that's commission. If you're actually going out and committing sins, that's pretty bad. But if you're omitting to do what God called you to do, if you're forsaking meeting together, if you were not doing God's will, that's actually God feels worse, because he says, I told you what I want. You need to get out there and do it. Next is obligations. You need power to do what you're obligated by God to do. You need to have Spirit-filled worship. You need to have a Spirit-filled marriage. You need to have Spirit-filled work. You need to have Spirit-filled warfare. Actually, spiritual warfare. We have, in fact, seen instances where we've had Spirit-filled, no joke, shooting warfare because somebody was doing something really evil that we had to go and stop. This is a concept that the Catholic Church declared to be justifiable war. There are times when you need to go to war. This is one of the things I've often tried to explain to people, is there are people who are called to be warriors, because there's an awful lot of people who are called not to be warriors. And so they need somebody to stand out there and say, no, you're not going to hurt people. unfortunately, he has called me into that. I have tended to be a worrier. I get involved when sometimes I might shouldn't have. We need to have a spirit-filled witness. If your witness is not spirit-filled, you're not going to have any effect on people. But if it is spirit-filled, basically all you have to do is just say, it's a cute little formula. You just go, this is how I was, this is how I am now, and Jesus did it. And then you can fill in some details and all that kind of stuff. But that's it. The bottom line is, this is how I was. Then I got saved. This is how I am now. Jesus made the difference. But you need to be filled with the Spirit to do this, because the Spirit is the person who draws people to God. And then there are opportunities. God says we need to redeem the time. We have time, we need to redeem it. Instead of going off and just messing around and not doing things, we need to get out there and work for God. I know I don't do it enough, but that's what you want. One example of this is first aid. You come upon somebody who's had an accident, whether it's a car accident or he just fell out of a tree or whatever, who knows. But you come up to him and you say, are you all right? You give him aid and so on like that.
If you're qualified.
Right. You do as much as you're qualified to do. Then again, you may want to get more and more qualified. Mm-hmm. Okay. When I was in the Navy, that was one of the things they did. Two big things they had. You had to be qualified as a firefighter, and you had to be qualified in first aid. Because you never know. We got one doc on board a submarine. He can't be everywhere. If we have a mass CAS, we're going to help each other. The requirements for the spiritual life are C's. Complete commitment. We need to look at the Holy Spirit not as it, but as He. This is one of the personalities of God. We need to have him make himself at home in our life. If he's not making himself at home in our life, we're not spirit-filled. We need to have continual control. Present tense and continuing. You're in control and you're continuing in control. You need to be under the Spirit's control and not under control of anything else like drinking or something like that or drugs. Now, once again, if you're in a hospital and you get all drugged up, that's for health reasons. That's not. But you need to, in your daily life, be controlled by the Spirit, not by something else. And conscious claiming. Just ask, oh Lord, I need whatever. And you have Pat and say, you don't need a motorcycle. You need air. But you just ask, Lord, what do you want from me? I want you to get a motorcycle and go witness to bikers. Okay. You must be committed to doing what the Holy Spirit tells you. Now, I often would praise the Lord for my bike. And people might not like that. But I said, no, the Lord gave me that motorcycle. Okay? He gave me the ability to pay for it. He gave me the desire to use it. And I committed it to Him. So you commit to the Lord what you've asked Him for. you use it for Him. And if you do that, then all you have to do is ask. Lord, this is what I think I need. He'll either say, yeah, you're right, and give it to you, or He'll say, no, this is what you need. Or He may say, yeah, you're probably right, wait a bit. The result of the Spirit-filled life is very simple. You have a relationship to God. This is the spirit of adoption. In the Roman world, if you were adopted, you could never be disowned. A parent could disown his natural child, but he couldn't disown one he had adopted. God has adopted us as His children. Relationship to circumstances. This is the spirit of appreciation. My circumstances may not be really good, but I need to appreciate what the Lord's teaching me through it. Or He may do things that make things easy. He says, I want you to do whatever, and He provides this just wide open lane to go do it. We need to be appreciative of that. And we have a relationship to others. This is a spirit of accommodation. Once again, Vicki's very good about this, because she has a relationship with a group of people who have a lot of needs, and she works to fill those needs. She's accommodating to them. So what does this mean to us? Well, first of all, do you have the engine on? Are you pushing your car around? Or do you start it up with the Holy Spirit and go out and get something done? Is He in control, or are you? We often talk about the little pamphlet, the Four Spiritual Laws. There's a follow-on pamphlet to that called How to Live a Spirit-Filled Life. And it talks about the fact that you spend most of your time in control. It actually shows a picture of a little chair, and it's got me sitting on it. And He says, you need to get off of the throne. That's your throne. It looks like a little stick chair, but you get off the throne, and you need to put God on the throne. So He's in charge. You need to put Him in control, and you need to make sure He stays in control. And you can test this by, are you showing the fruits of the Spirit? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Now these follow on. You notice it starts out, but the fruit of the Spirit. It's a follow on to when He had listed all of the things that were the opposite of these things that are the fruit of the world. And He says, you don't want to do that. We want to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. Now, there are people who will take that little list and they'll be going, do they do this? Do they do this? And they'll, you know, and they're making a list to find out, you know, okay, how did you start? Oh, you're not doing so good. And no, that's not what God wants. He wants you to have that list and say, am I doing it? Mm-hmm. We're not sitting here passing judgment on each other. Okay? So let's pray. Lord, we thank You that we've been here tonight. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that makes our lives easier if we'll just let Him. That gives us the peace and the comfort that we need to have. We just like ask You to bless us and guide us and go with us in all we do as we go out into the world. Help us to lead more people to know You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming, guys.